Praise the Lord.
Now let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great dispute amongst themselves. Now don't none of y'all leave, because then we'll know you're mad. Just sit there and take it and act like you like it. Nobody will know the difference. When he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Now listen. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. He preached the kingdom of God and the things concerning Jesus Christ. How many of you know Jesus is the King of the kingdom? He's, that's what, when you ever, anybody ever said Jesus is Lord?
Yes, sir.
Well, you same as said Jesus is King.
Yes, sir.
Because the word Lord means King. He's the King. And when he said the kingdom of God is at hand, he was saying the King's here.
All right, now.
The King's here. And wherever the King is, that's where the kingdom is. Did you know a lot of church folks think they're going to get, when they get to go to heaven, they get in the kingdom of God? If you're born again, you've already been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You already in the kingdom. But you're just like Israel was when they crossed the Jordan River. When they crossed the Jordan River, they were in the land, but they hadn't occupied it. They hadn't driven out the giants. Just because you saved don't mean you know anything. Just because you saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and dance and shout don't mean you can do anything. Because you don't know anything. Still a baby. You can have all that and still be a baby. And you know why? Because the church has left out a step that Jesus very clearly told us about. Go in your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. I'm finally going to get to my message. I just got to do a little preliminary. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, big towns and little towns, places where people are, teaching in their synagogues. That word synagogue just is another word for a meeting place. Church. Church building. How many of you know the church is not a building? The church is you. The church is you, the people. We don't have to be in a building to be the church. We don't go to church. We be the church. That's right. And so he said that he went about all their cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel or the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that he send out laborers into his harvest." Now, the church has done that. We've sent laborers out into the harvest. One day I was reading that scripture, and the Lord said, "Do you know what that word few means?" And I said, "I expect I do." He said, "You better go look at it." The Greek word that's translated few does not just mean small in number. It means small in degree or extent. One word that defines that or tells you about that is puny. The laborers are puny, weak, not able to perform fully. The laborers are puny. they were sent out into the harvest, but the laborers were puny. We've always thought that meant that there weren't enough laborers to do the job.
Yes, sir.
But that's not what he was talking about. He said, the laborers are puny. And I said, okay, God, why are the laborers puny? And he says, because the church has taken a man from being an unbeliever, made a believer out of him, and then made a laborer out of him. He hadn't been discipled. There is a big difference between being taught. Being taught just means you got information. Being discipled means you learn how to do something. You learn how to be something. Did you know Jesus had 12 guys that he had with him for 3.5 years? They traveled around with him. And when it was over with, they still had problems.
Yes, sir.
I mean, Peter's the guy that denied him 3 times. And the rest of them broke and run. Right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, they did. Amen.
It wasn't until after the Holy Spirit was poured out that they began to, even with all the training that they had. Now, you have an advantage that those guys didn't have. The Holy Spirit's been poured out on all flesh, according to the Scripture. You say, well, I don't know if it has or not. Well, read the book. It says that he'd pour out his Spirit on, and that's what Peter preached, that he poured out his Spirit on all flesh. You say, well, that was back then. Well, hey, all flesh means what?
All flesh.
What we have to do is get our eyes open and our ears open and receive.
Amen.
What was the first song? Let your anointing fall on me. Well, then all you got to do is put your umbrella down. Put your umbrella down. The rain's falling. The Holy Spirit's been poured out on all flesh. Now you may have some messed up idea about what it means to have the Holy Spirit, but you need to find out what God's Word says.
Right.
Then you sang, open the eyes of my heart. Well, I'm wanting to get you, open the eyes of your understanding. Be willing to listen to something different than what you heard. Just because you heard it all your life and you've been in church all your life doesn't really mean you understand or know what God's saying. Now, I'm not trying to be unkind to you. I'm trying to get you to hear. All right. So he said the laborers are puny. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13 and find out what God's answer for puny laborers are. He doesn't want you to be puny. And you see, just because the laborers are puny don't mean they're not saved. I'm not talking about not being saved. I'm talking about not being able to be or do what God's called you to do. You have to have some understanding. You have to be willing to lay down the traditions and doctrines of men that we have all come up with. Jesus said it very clearly. The traditions and doctrines of men make the Word of God...
Void.
Who said it?
Void.
Void or of no effect. Traditions of men. And we got them in the church, guys.
Yeah.
Alright, Matthew chapter 13. Let's just start here at verse 1. On the same day Jesus went out of the house, sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So we read here, now Jesus is always teaching the gospel of the kingdom. So when he starts talking to them about a sower sowing seed, he's talking about somebody going out and planting the seed of the kingdom. He's using a natural picture to give you a spiritual truth. Let me just say it to you this way. The message that Jesus preached and taught was the kingdom of God. The message the church preaches today, well, let me give you another thing Jesus said. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. How many of you know the end hadn't come yet? Right? So that means the gospel of the kingdom hadn't been preached in all the earth. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, the church has preached a gospel, guys. The church has preached a gospel of heaven and hell. Both of those are real places, but that's not the message. You say, Jesus didn't preach about heaven and hell? He talked about them, but that was not the message. You read Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, and you read right on through the book of Matthew, it says he preached the gospel of the kingdom. He didn't preach the gospel of heaven and hell.
That's right. Amen.
It's part of it. The understanding and the knowledge about heaven and hell is part of, but it is not the message. How many of you guys ever heard some guy preach hellfire and brimstone so he could get a guy saved? You ever hear that?
Yes, sir.
Well, that ain't what Jesus did. Read the book. Read the book, the Gospel of Matthew. He did not do that. And so, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. Well, since the end hadn't come, I figured out one day, with my brilliant mind, that the gospel of the kingdom must have not been preached yet. And I began to look at that and think about it. And I began to want to know, well, what is the gospel of the kingdom? How does it work? What's he talking about? And so he says that here he's talking about four different kinds of soil. There's the wayside soil. That's a pathway. That's a place where men have walked. There's the stony soil or shallow soil. It's got just a little depth of earth and rocks and hard places underneath. The other is the thorny soil, where other things are growing. And then there's good soil. And even the good soil, there's three different types of good soil. One produced 100-fold, one produced 60, and one produced 30. So some soil was better than the other good soil. But it produced a crop. The first three didn't produce a crop. First one was because the soil was packed hard and the birds came and picked it up. Now, let me tell you what. He's talking about the seed of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Do you know where the seed, the gospel of the kingdom, gets planted?
Yes, sir.
In the hearts of men, in the mind, the understanding. Let me read you a verse in chapter 13, verse 19. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Understanding.
Come on now.
If your mind doesn't receive. You say, well, it's your heart. Yeah. Yeah. Look at the word. It means understanding. You have to be willing to understand. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, ask God to do what it takes to get you to understand.
Amen.
Now, any of you guys, anybody here raised on a farm?
I live on.
How many of you know? You did?
I'm raised on.
Did you know God's a good farmer?
Yes,
I can show you in the book of James where it says the husbandman of the earth is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. That's not talking about just a guy out plowing ground. That's talking about God. He's the real farmer, and he's waiting for the fruit of the earth. This is earth. My understanding, my heart. The seed of the kingdom gets planted in the soil of my mind and my heart. My understanding. But a good farmer knows that the ground has got to be prepared Now, is it right back here behind it, out this way, isn't there woods out there, trees and everything growing? Now, if that ground out there will grow trees, did you know what? It'll grow other stuff. You believe that?
Yes, sir.
It will. But you got, if you're going to get it to grow corn, for instance, you got to get the trees out of the way. So that means you got to go in and cut down the trees. That means you got to go in and get out the stumps. That means you got to go in and plow out all them roots. And that means you got to take a breaking plow and go in and plow up that granny. You guys know what a breaking plow is? Great big old plow that cuts down real deep and gets the soil down where it really gets busted open. And then after you run that breaking plow over it, you got to run a disc over it. And then after you run that disc over it several times, then you got to take a thing called a harrow and flatten it out and soften it up. And then it has to be rolled up and plant seed. Now what I just told you is discipling the land. A farmer would say you got to get the land in shape. You got to get the land in shape before you can put seed in it. Well, let me tell you something, guys. God loves every one of you guys. He put you here in this earth on purpose. But I guarantee you, every one of us have at least one and maybe more than one of those types of soil in our understanding. Some of us got places where men have walked on us, been abused, misused, and our heart, our understanding is hard. We hardened and don't pay no attention to what anybody says because we're protecting ourselves. Don't trust nobody. Don't let anybody say anything to me because I'm protecting myself. Don't get too close to me. Others got a little shallow soil, but there's still hard places down deep. Rocks, stony places in their heart. Again, it can come because of misuse and abuse, misunderstandings, all kinds of things. And then there's the soil that's like these out here, these trees, got other things growing there. You know what he said that was? Let's look there. When Jesus in that 13th chapter, he told us, he said, let's read. He says in verse 18, let's just get all three of the types of soil. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside, the packed down, the walked on place. But he who receives seed on stony places or with shallow soil, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Got a little soil, heart's broken up a little bit, but when the seed gets in there and it begins to sprout up, but then when the sun comes and shines, and it begins to dry up a little bit, it dies. When pressure comes, problems, situation. Did you ever see anybody get turned on for Jesus and then something happened? And the pressure and problem, disappointment, something, and they say, oh, that, just leave me alone. I was better off before I ever heard that. Cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, and the lusts of other things. Other stuff growing in your heart. See, God's got to plow up those hard places. He's got to get those stony places out. He's got to get those things that are growing in there out of there. And just like the farmer is discipling the land for it to produce a crop, so you have to allow God to disciple you. That don't just mean sitting in church on Sunday mornings. There's more to it than that, guys. You have to allow God to begin to build relationships between you and somebody that has been there and done that and walked through it. has some insight and understanding. You have to be willing to listen. You learn how. You have to learn how to live. I'll ask one of my favorite questions, because some of you guys, this is the first time I ever saw you. Is anybody here that knew the Lord before you came to one of these places? There it is. Always anywhere from a third to a half. Well, you know what? I don't question your testimony at all. I don't doubt you knew the Lord. But I'll tell you what I do know. You wasn't doing anything close to what you was taught and what you said you just said you believe, because if so, you wouldn't be here. Is that right? Say amen or oh me. That's the truth. Well, and you know why? Because you didn't. Nobody taught you how to live. You say, well, I know how to live. Well, if you like living like you are, being in one of these places, why just stay doing what you're doing? You can be saved and die and go to be with Jesus. Did you know you can go to heaven ignorant? But you don't have to. You don't have to. You can find out what God's doing. But you have to open your heart. You have to open your eyes. You don't have to, well, bless God, I already know all that stuff. Obviously you don't, or you wouldn't be here. I love you guys, but that's everybody say, we love Brother Tisdale. All right. I love you guys. I appreciate you coming. Let me romp on you a little bit. Now, Jesus says in verse 22, now he who receives seeds among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Hearing it is one thing. Understanding it is something else. And if you don't get your heart plowed, discipled, you won't understand. I heard you pray when you sang. Let your anointing fall on me. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Well, God heard that. And that's why He let me tell you what I'm telling you. Because you sang us a couple of songs. I didn't know they was going to sing those songs. I knew what I... These are the notes that I come with. God knew. So, brothers, God's not fussing at you. He's just trying to get your attention. You say, well, what does it mean to be discipled? It means you have to allow God to begin to plow in your life. That's the first thing. Sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes it's not fun. A lot of folks think, you know, if I'm serving God, well, everything's going to be good and wonderful. I'll tell you, really what's happening, even you being here in this place is God wanting to plow in your life, because He puts you in a place where you can hear. But you have to decide you're going to hear. And when you run up on something that doesn't fit your present understanding, don't just throw it away. Be willing to examine it in view of what God's Word says, not in view of your experience. Don't make the Word of God fit your experience. Make your experience fit the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. That's good, definitely.
Now, I said to you, the Lord's a good farmer. Let me show you some places where the Scripture says that. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And verse 1. It says in John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. A husbandman and a farmer are the same thing. A farmer is a husband to the land. He takes care of it. He oversees it. He protects it. He makes it bring forth. It's an old English word. Husbandman just means a farmer. And the Lord is that. Then I told you about a verse in James. Let's go look there. James chapter 5. James chapter 5 verse 7 says, Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Now he's using a natural picture there, but he's talking about God. God is the farmer, the husbandman of the earth, and he's waiting for fruit to come from your life. He's not just waiting for you to be able to memorize a bunch of scriptures or for you to go to church enough times. He's desiring for you to submit yourself to his dealings and let him plow in your life. Let him teach you and train you. Look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 5. The scripture says, You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. Now listen to what God says to His sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. That word chastening could also be translated training. A farmer trains the land. He has to train the land. When he's getting the roots out, the trees out, the stumps out, and getting the roots out, and plowing up the ground, he's training it so it will bring forth a crop. And God does that in your life. If you let him, he'll cut down the trees that are growing there that don't produce anything for the kingdom of God. He'll root out the roots that are there, but you have to let him do that. You have to be willing to do that. And I can tell you, some of it won't be fun. You say, well, my God, that'd take too long. Yeah, if I had 40 acres out here with trees growing up in it, and if I had all the equipment, it'd take a year right now, starting today, it'd take a year to get all the trees cut down, to go through and get the stumps out, and to go through and with a big old root plow and plow out all the roots. Because just once you get the stumps out, don't mean you're done, because the trees put out roots. Yeah. And you don't plow very well in ground to plant a crop where there's a lot of roots.
That's right,
yeah. It slow everything down, tear something up. So all them roots, you have to get all that out of there. Then you have to break up that ground. And then you have to plow it, disc it, harrow it. And then you have to plant something. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on for planting.
All right.
If you're just starting with land that's already grown up in trees.
That's good.
And most of us have grown up in something. Oh, we just got understanding that's hardened. It has to just almost had to take dynamite to blast it out. Listen to what he says here. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. What do you mean rebuked? To tell you something that you didn't know that you probably don't like to hear. Don't be discouraged when you're rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you'll let God, He'll work in your life and He'll teach you and train you and bring you into His purposes.
Amen.
But let me just tell you something. He'll use instrument. You know, somebody said, well, if God's doing it, why, it'll be all right. Yeah, God's doing it. But usually He'll bring some man. Some individual into your life. And it'd probably be somebody you'd rather not be around.
All right.
Just just because God sends somebody into your life that rubs you the wrong way, don't just automatically say, get that person away from me, get them out of my life. That may be God's tool to plow up some stuff in your life that needs to be plowed up so you can become the land to produce the crop that God wants you to produce. So you won't any longer be a puny laborer. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, and that word, every time you see that word chastening, say training. If you endure training, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the father does not train? If you are without training, of which all have become partakers, then are you illegitimate and not sons. God trains these sons. If you haven't been trained, you're illegitimate. You want to know the other word?
Master.
Yeah. That's old English. We understand. That's an old English word we understand. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and lived? For they indeed for a few days chastened us or trained us as seemed best to them. Let me tell you something. My dad, Lester Tisdale, trained me.
Right.
He raised me up, taught me how to work, taught me how to get up in the morning. You know, I still wake up at 5:30 in the morning. Because that's how he trained me. You didn't lay in bed, you got up. There was stuff to do, you burn in daylight, boy. That was discipline, training. And I don't make no difference. I go to bed at 1 o'clock, I'm going to wake up at 5:30. Now, I may not get up. But I wake up. Well, but if I need to get up, I'm awake. My body, it just wakes up. Because I've been trained. My dad trained me to read the book. Said he made you read the Bible? No, he didn't make me. I don't remember him ever necessarily telling me to read the Bible, but how he trained me was, I saw him do that.
That's it.
I saw him do that, and because he did it, I wanted to. Some of y'all ever heard that country song they got out there, a little boy saying, Daddy, I won't be like you? Well, all little boys do imitate their daddies, even though some of them they don't like their daddy, they imitate them anyway. You ever hear anybody say, well, my daddy mistreated me, I'll never do my kids that way, and you end up doing the same dead burn thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Won't go into that.
Amen, brother.
They indeed chastened us as seemed best to them, but he, for our profit, they trained us as seemed best to them, but he, God our Father, trains us for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness, that we may participate in His kingdom.
Amen.
See, God wants you to be laborers in the kingdom. But it takes training, guys. So, the word to you tonight is about discipleship. About being discipled. And I don't have time to go into everything that means, but I would admonish you to begin to talk to God about submitting yourself to His training, to His discipleship. Ask God to send into your life someone who is able to do that. And because somebody comes into your life, it looks like they're a pain in the drain, don't automatically throw them away. But it may straighten you out. Maybe your drain don't work just right. Maybe you need a little more understanding. Maybe you need to get your eyes open in some areas that you haven't had them open in. Not because you don't love. I'm not telling you don't love God. I'm not telling you that you're sorry old sinners. I'm just telling you the church hasn't taught you about discipleship. The church hasn't taught you about kingdom living. A lot of people think when I go to heaven I'll be in the kingdom. The kingdom's now.
That's
It ain't later. It's now. That's what he said. It's right here. It's right here. The Spirit of God's been poured out. You prayed, send your anointing, Lord. Well, he did. Already. And if you'll open your heart. You see, you have to open your heart. You have to open your eyes. And you have to, on purpose, begin to receive what God is saying. It's not just about getting a bunch of information, brothers. It's about learning how to live in kingdom precepts. That's what it's about.
Amen.
Stand up with me. Praise God. Let's do this. Let's make a declaration. Let's tell God we're going to do something. Can we do that?
Amen.
Say this with me. My Father, I thank you for the word of the kingdom. And right now, on purpose, I open my heart. I open my understanding to you. To you. I receive by faith the training, the instruction that you will send to me. And I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Right now, in the name of your Son Jesus, I submit myself, spirit, soul, and body, to your discipline, to your chastening, your training. And I thank you, Lord, for the fruit that you will bring forth in the days to come in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Brother, we love you. We appreciate you.